Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are listening to Home. I'm Dean Sharp, the house whisperer, custom home builder, custom home designer, here to help you turn your ordinary house into an extraordinary home, like we do every weekend, every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 and Sundays from 9 to 11. All right. The team is all here and ready to roll. My design partner and best buddy in the universe, Tina, is sitting across the table from me.
Good morning.
Oh, I was going to hit the applause button and I didn't have the volume turned up. Let's try
That's
it again.
Okay. That's okay.
My best buddy is sitting across the table from me, Tina.
Good morning.
Okay.
That's cute.
I'm trying. Okay. I'm getting used to having stingers on this side, too. Normally, Sam would do that, but, you know, it's a thing. All right. Let us begin, shall we? Here's what I wanted to talk to you about today. I thought, with Thanksgiving coming up now, officially, we are within the week of Thanksgiving arriving. There's no question that we are definitely in the holiday season. And considering that California just went purple again, mostly, right? And nationwide, we're having COVID issues more seriously on some levels than we've ever had before. As predicted, that fall and winter were going to bring higher levels, plus the gatherings and all of that stuff. I thought it would behoove us to spend some time having a conversation this morning about what you can do with your home during the holidays in the time of COVID. And believe me, would I rather be talking about other things like what color drapes you should be picking out? Yes. Yes, I would. But it's just one of those areas where, you know, we should probably meet the moment, and that's all. I don't want to get down in the dumps about it today. I know a lot of you are. And so, if anything, let's just try and lift our spirits and find a way through it. And that's really the theme of where we're going today, that the holidays aren't canceled, not at all. Let's just say that they are reimagined, shall we? Okay. Charles Darwin famously said, you know, that it is not the smartest or the strongest who survive when it comes to species, but it is rather those who are best able to adapt to new circumstances. That is kind of the general rule of the evolutionary process, right? Adapt, be flexible and adapt. That's how we're going to get through anything. That's how we're going to get through the holidays during COVID. And hopefully this is the only set of holidays that we have to ever have to worry about this with. But they're here, and so we're going to do it. The Marine Corps, what is their, they have the unofficial motto, improvise, adapt, and overcome. That's where we're going, right? So we're going to take a Marine Corps spirit to the holidays. What was that?
I said, woo. Yay for Marines.
We're going to survive, and we're going to thrive our way through it. So let me start with this comment. I honor and respect everything that the CDC puts out in regards to the guidelines for us and all of the pandemic responses and so on. However, if you go on the interweb and you start looking around for posts having to do with how to do COVID at home, you're going to find all sorts of lists. And my question is this. These are not lists written by the CDC. They're not lists written by healthcare professionals. They're just lists of, you know, bloggers doing what they do, throwing stuff against the wall. And I got to tell you, just repeating repetition of lists that you've seen elsewhere and trying to apply it to the home, it just doesn't work. You know, I don't know about you. I actually put in the promo this week. All right, are you really going to put tape down inside your home like they do at the grocery store so that your holiday guests can stand 6 feet apart from each other? No, of course not. Why even include that in a list? Okay, I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to remain calm. So my point is that there's a lot of these suggestions, albeit good ones, okay, as far as, yeah, in general, that are never going to be used at home. We're never going to apply them at home. I don't know who writes these guideline lists, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm married to a beautiful younger woman, who for years was a personal trainer. And she always used to say, you know, the best exercise that you can do is the one you actually do. And the idea of these guidelines, you know, they can all be good suggestions, but realistically, it's the ones that you can pull off that are going to help you. And no amount of guidelines are of any value if they just don't work at home. So I want to be realistic this morning. I want to make suggestions that hopefully you can utilize make the holidays better and safer for you. The essential issue, and we will jump on this when we get back, the essential issue when it comes to a pandemic is transference, right? And that breaks down into, you know, a couple of factors, maybe three. Shared air, surface contact, and time of exposure, okay? The amount of time we're in each other's presence, the amount of air that we're sharing, and the surfaces that we are contacting and sharing as a result. So the real question, I think, on a practical level is, how are you going to do the holidays realistically so that we can mitigate those things and make it warm and wonderful and cordial and special? Of course, I am assuming that you are gathering, hopefully in a small group, but gathering together with family that has also been safe. But making that assumption of small gathering, how do we make it everything it can be? Let's talk about it more when we come back. I'm so glad you joined me this morning. Hang tight. There's a lot more to come. You are listening to Home with Dean Sharp, The House Whisperer.
I know supposedly I'm lonely now. No, I'm supposed to be unhappy without someone.
KFI, Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer, at your service. You are listening to Home, where every week we help you better understand that place where you live. Hey. I'm so glad you joined me this morning, and I would love to talk with you about what's going on with your home today. I'm talking about, holiday stuff and COVID, but you and I, we can talk about anything you want to talk about. Leaky toilets, DIY questions, design issues, big artsy fartsy questions, construction questions, the whole gambit, the whole thing, anything you want to talk about today, give me a call. The phone lines are open now. We're going to go to the phones in just a few minutes. So call now, jump into the queue. 833-2-ASK-DEAN. 833-2-ASK-DEAN is the number to call. So jump on in there and let's talk. All right. Where am I at here? Let's talk about what? It was a long pause. I'm just checking my notes. I'm doing okay.
Perfect.
All right, let's take the celebration for COVID outdoors for the moment. No, actually, I'm going to back it up. Let's get back to those essential issues, okay? The essential issues of dealing with a virus during the pandemic is transference, right? If you got it, you keep it. That's the point. Just keep it over there. So we all know this by now. It's been 9 months. So this is not new news that there are basically three things: shared air, surface contact, and exposure time. All right. So shared air is how are we mitigating that? Masks. We're wearing masks, right, out in public. Social distancing, a phrase that I never thought in the world that we would all be saying again and again. And, you know, eventually I never want to say ever again. And the exchange of air, and I want to talk about that specifically today because that's one of those things that we can do something about, the exchange of air in a space. Then there's surface contact. And obviously, surface contact is about disinfecting and hand washing and non-contact with surfaces as much as possible. And then there's exposure time, and I think that's self-explanatory, the time that we spend in each other's presence in close proximity. If somebody does have the virus, then there's just that much more opportunity for it to make its way, to transfer from one person to another. Okay. So one of the big suggestions has been that we do holidays, meals and such outdoors as much as possible. And you know what? I'm going to say, not the worst idea in the world, especially if you live in Southern California. Now, there are other places in the country where, yeah, thanks a lot. You know, we're going to do it outdoors. We're going to do it outdoors. It's 28 degrees outdoors. We're not doing Thanksgiving outdoors. But in Southern California, we do have that option. Now, I think, let me take a look here. Right now, I think the current forecast for Thanksgiving Day is going to be mid-60s down to the mid-40s. So not unbearably cold, but it's going to get cool, especially as the sun starts to go down in the late afternoon, the evening, right? So let's talk about how to successfully spend time outdoors, something that I know a little bit about, not only because around the Sharp home, we spend an inordinate amount of time enjoying our house on the outside in every imaginable kind of weather, but also because I've spent a lot of time outdoors my whole life. I've been a wilderness guy. I've been an avid backpacker. It's just there's stuff that I know. So why don't we start with the easiest thing? Clothing, okay? What are you going to say? What's the one word we're going to say for the day? Layers, right? But here's something that I find most people don't understand necessarily about layers. Layers of clothing, if you're really going to be taking into account staying warm and being able to adapt. Obviously, the whole idea of the layers is so that you can peel on peel off, pile on as the weather changes. But did you know that there are three essential layers if you're going to be outside and you want to stay warm? Three essential kinds of layers. And so I think that this is a perfect time to apply this, suggest this to your guests and to yourself. And that is, here they are, a wicking layer, wicking, number one, insulation, and shell. Okay, this is standard backpacking 101, okay? If you're going out on an adventure, wicking, insulation, and shell. So what do I mean by that? The wicking layer is something clingy and thin and somewhat breathable that kind of grabs to your skin. You might think, oh, that's the long underwear. Yeah, but not long underwear in the cotton sense of those old kind of waffly cotton long underwear. We're talking about it could be anything. It could be silk, could be polypropylene, capillene, that kind of stuff. A thin layer. And what does wicking do? It's probably the most important thing of all. It allows perspiration to pass through it, and then it holds it away from your skin. Because, and here is the big universal rule in the world of staying warm, wet is cold. Okay? If your skin is wet, you are going to get cold. And so the idea is have a material on that's clingy and close by that allows you to perspire through it, right? And then that moisture doesn't stay held against the surface of your skin. It gets away from your skin. It's separate. It wicks it away. See? There you go. Wicking. There you go. Okay? A lot of activewear is made exactly like this. So that's the first factor. Oh, look at the time. All right. So when we come back, we'll talk about the other two layers, and then we will go to the phones. You're home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. Up next, your calls. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. Hey, I got good news. Listen to this. The KFI Pastathon is back, and it is our 10th year raising funds and pasta and sauce for Katerina's Club, which is Chef Bruno's charity that feeds more than 25,000 kids every week. Now, really, really important, you know, right along the theme with what we're talking about this morning, things being different in the time of COVID. This year, the need is even greater because of COVID. Katerina's Club is helping even more people in the community. They have already served more than 1 million meals this year, and that is a milestone that normally takes the entire year to achieve. So here is how you can help this year. Donate right now at pastathon.com, pastathon.com. Stop into any Smart and Final store in California, Arizona, and Nevada and donate $10 at checkout. Your donation will provide 14 meals. A $10 donation is worth 14 meals. And then the third thing is drop pasta and sauce donations at the Anaheim White House from now through the 4th of December. Every day, they're accepting the donations from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., except for Thanksgiving, and you won't even need to leave your car. Volunteers are on site. They will collect your donations for you, all right? And then, not next week, but the week following, tune in to KFI from December 1st through the 4th. We're going to be doing a lot of exclusive live streaming events. So that is how we're handling Pastathon this year. I will repeat that in the second hour, just so in case everybody missed it. But please help us participate this year. Wouldn't it be wonderful, despite the limitations, if this was the biggest Pastathon year ever, right? Okay. All right. So where are we at? We are dealing with the clothing, layers of clothing for outside. So very quickly, I don't want to belabor the point. Three layers, but three kinds of layers. That's the thing. The wicking layer, so that you're wearing something that kind of clings to your skin, that doesn't absorb water. A synthetic material or silk is best. It clings to your skin, and water moves through it and holds the moisture away from your skin, because wet is cold and dry is warm. The next layer, that's the easy one, insulation. That's just whatever, a sweatshirt, a hoodie, a sweater, you know, whatever you want to wear. That is your insulation layer, the thing that you normally reach to keep yourself warm. The outer layer is what we call the shell. And the shell doesn't have to be big and thick and crazy. It just needs to be able to break the wind and keep you dry if rain starts to fall. So these are the layers that every backpacker knows, every mountaineer knows, every sporto knows, every fisherman and hunter knows, the wicking layer, the insulating layer, and the shell. And if you think in terms of outdoor clothing for Thanksgiving Day or any holiday gathering in those terms, you're going to be set. And those are layers that you can control as you go. All right. More on COVID stuff when we come back to it, but I want to go to the phone. So let's talk to Todd. Hey, Todd, welcome home.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, sir. I've got knocking water pipes. It's almost like an alarm clock. When my sprinklers come on in the morning, I've got them set at 6 o'clock. I'll hear kind of a bap, 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 and it goes away, and it'll cycle to the next set of sprinklers, and then in the wall, bap, 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 bap. And sometimes this also happens when my dishwasher is running or my clothes washer is running, or even if one of the toilets is leaking and it cycles and fills up the tank. So what is it? What do I do to fix it? Is it a problem?
It's not a problem. It's an annoyance, as you well know. And there may be a fix. What it is, Todd, is called water hammer. Water hammer occurs when there are, well, for two reasons. One, when there's air in our plumbing line, okay? And air can get into a plumbing line through a number of different sources. It doesn't mean there's a leak. That's not what we're talking about. There's air in all plumbing lines. But depending on the way a particular house gets piped, and literally, I'm telling you, there's no way for plumbers to figure this out ahead of time. So don't get mad at anybody. It's not like, well, this was a terrible job. My house is full of water hammer. There's literally no way for us to know, because it's a combination of the air in the line and the turns that the water makes as it's going through the house. Every time water makes a turn inside a pipe, it creates what we call cavitation. Cavitation is just, the energy inside the water. It disturbs it. So you combine that with air, and normally right at the outset, when you turn on a line or a washing machine goes on, or like in your situation, turning the sprinkler valves go on, until the air is fully purged out of the line, which it does, that's why it stops. But until that happens, to varying degrees, you get water hammer. Now, it sounds to me like you've got a relatively mild case of water hammer, because a water hammer that is the classic just tap, 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 almost like a clicking sound sometimes, that's the mildest condition of water hammer. Some people, when they turn on a faucet in their home, it sounds like literally the pipes are about to explode and the whole house is coming apart, like it's shuddering and a knocking, like a banging sound, hence the term water hammer. So how do we solve it? Well, first of all, number one, to understand that it's not a problem with your lines and no, the house is not going to fall apart. Number two, there are small devices that can be put on the end of certain runs in your house that are actually basically water hammer devices. You'll find them on the shelf in the plumbing department at the hardware store or the big box center. Excuse me. These are little devices that extend the ends of certain lines, and we would access those. For instance, you could actually install one near the water sprinkler valves. You could install one near where the lines come out for the angle stops for the washer and dryer. You can even put these in line underneath sinks coming out of an angle stop before the hose that goes to the sink, depending on the configuration. And what these are, they're these little, we call them nipples. They're a short length of pipe. And inside them is a spring. It's literally a shock absorber. It's a shock absorber for water pressure. So as a result, when the cavitation starts inside the lines, these shock absorbers receive that and they absorb that shock instead of allowing it to travel the rest of the way through the lines. Now, where to put it? I can't tell you. You have to sort of just experiment with them. But usually a couple of sets of these in a home will either grossly reduce or completely eliminate water hammer. It's just a thing. So, Todd, good luck with it. Don't worry about it. But, yeah, that's how you can deal with it. And if all else fails, set the sprinklers to go on when you're not still in bed. Right? I mean, when all else fails, just have them to, if you're already up, who cares? So, you know, delay it for half an hour or 2 hours or whatever and have them come on when that tapping sound won't annoy you. All right. Why don't we take some more calls when we return? You are home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. KFI, Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer, welcome home. Hey, don't miss another episode of the House Whisperer podcast, your very own personal home improvement reference library. You know, every show we ever do is converted into podcast form and put up on our server, and that can be accessed through the free iHeartRadio app or iTunes or many, many places, wherever your favorite podcasts are found. Just do a search, Home with Dean Sharp, and boom, you're going to find hundreds of episodes, hundreds of hours now of information and inspiration about your home, all listed by topic. And so it is. It's really like having your very own personal home improvement reference library. And then, you know, you can listen anytime you want, day or night, all day long if you want. You and I, we can just spend the whole day together. Sounds good to me. It's fine. Speaking of spending time together, why don't we go back to the phones, shall we? Why don't we talk to Judy? Hey, Judy, welcome home.
Hi, Dean. So
hi.
I talked to you before about a design question. I asked you about baseboard, and you shared with me the minimum should be, you know, the 7.5% of the height of the wall. I forgot to ask you about door trim. I have nice door trim. I don't plan to change it. It has just enough detail. And I'm wondering if there's a formula for the door trim to the baseboard that I need to take into account when I'm picking out the baseboard. That's my first question. And the second question is, my windows have a little bit of a ledge with a little trim, but they have no trim around the window. And I was thinking about adding that detail, and I was wondering if I should use a trim that matches my doors, my door trim.
Okay. All right. Really good questions. To review, for everyone's benefit, there is a general rule. Now, so let me just say this. These are general rules, general suggestions, but designers use them constantly because they generally work, all right? So there are always exceptions to every rule. But the height of your baseboards in a house, the general rule is the 7% rule, 7%. 7% of the height of the room, the ceiling height of the room. And if you work that out, yes, you're going to be a little bit surprised because you're going to find out that you and everybody else in the universe has baseboards that are too short. Because 7% of like an 8-foot room, 8-foot tall ceiling is, you know, almost 7 inches. It's almost a 7-inch baseboard. And like, whoa, that is too high, Dean. No, it is not. It is not too high. It is just right. It does look better. And I keep telling people this again and again. A wall, visually, a wall is a column, okay? It's a column. Think of a column. You know what I'm talking about, like a Greek or Roman column, you know, the round things that, you know, hold up the White House and stuff like that. A column. Walls are very much columns. And at the bottom of a column, you have to have a sizable pediment, right? There has to be that base at the bottom. And if you have this big old fat column going down and it just ends in this tiny little thin trim, it just doesn't look right. It doesn't feel substantial, all right? So walls are visual columns, and the taller the baseboard gets, that baseboard, that is the pediment. That is the base of the column. Even an 8-foot wall, especially an 8-foot wall, looks fantastic
with a high baseboard. So if we've done our baseboard correctly, and it sounds like you have, okay, if you followed the 7% rule, then the next rule for door and window casings is 50%, which is half the width of your baseboard. So it's 7% and then 50%. Again, it's a general rule. So for an 8-foot ceiling, am I suggesting that you should have 7-inch tall baseboards and about 3 or 3.5-inch wide casings around doors and windows? Yes, I am. I am suggesting that because it gives them substance and presence and body, and 3.5 inches for a casing when you've got a 7-inch baseboard is not too much. Now, a 3.5-inch casing around a window or a door, when your baseboard is only 3.5 inches tall or shorter, looks really, really weird. And so I say that, I know that you already did the baseboards, but I'm saying it for everybody's benefit. It is a ratio between the two. It has to be a relationship between the two, between the tall base and then the thinner casing in order to make it look right. So that's the key there, Judy. So now, the other question is, what do you do with your windows? If you've got a traditional look in the house, and it sounds like you've got a drywall into the windows, but you have a sill. That's what that little ledge is at the bottom. You have a sill. Should you put casing around it? It'd be a great idea to put casing around it. Ideally, you would actually run a little bit of, if you already don't have a jam, quote unquote, in the interior of the window, if it's drywall running in there, you might want to step it in a little bit and actually put some straight wood filler inside next to the window coming out to the flush surface of the wall, and then run casing over that. And also, when it comes to that little sill at the bottom, you're going to have to make sure that the ears, the side of the sill that extends beyond the window, is large enough to receive the casing to sit down on top of it. Okay, so the sill has to be wide enough to receive the casing, and then you can case out the window. And then you want to take a piece of that casing and run it underneath the sill as what we call an apron. And I don't have time to explain that right now, but look online and look up images for window casing, sill, and apron, and you will see exactly what we're talking about. The casing goes around three sides or four if you just picture frame it. But if you have a sill, another great detail is to throw some casing underneath to make an apron. Judy, thanks for your call. Really, really good informative answer to a really good question. Was I just complimenting my answer? I didn't mean to do that. I meant to say a really good question and a mediocre answer. No, it was a good answer. No, it was fine. All right. So much more to come. You're home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer on KFI.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
I do love my ma and pa, but not the way that I do love you. Well, holy moly, me oh my, you're the apple of my eye. Girl, I've never loved one like you. Man oh man, you're my best friend. I scream into the nothingness. There ain't nothing that I need. In hot and heavy pumpkin pie, chocolate candy, Jesus Christ. Girl, nothing pleased me more than you. Our home, let me come home. Home is wherever I'm with you.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are listening to Home. I'm Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer, custom home builder, custom home designer here with you live as I am every weekend, Saturdays from 6 to 8, Sundays from 9 to 11. All right, we have been talking about holidays in the time of COVID, and I want to jump back into that. But first, I have an announcement. I just realized that we've let a whole week go by, and we haven't made this announcement. We have a new producer on our fine program. Yay. Misty is with us now to stay, at least for a while, I hope.
Yes,
so,
I am.
Everybody, there she is.
Hello,
everybody,
hello.
Welcome, Misty.
Perfect.
Thank
perfect,
you.
Perfect.
Wow, electrifying.
All right.
Wow.
I just hit every button, Misty.
That was great.
Misty she is a pro. She's actually no stranger to KFI. Misty, you were with us a few years back doing a lot of stuff, and now she's back again, and she knows her stuff. She is also a wonderful person, and we are just thrilled. So it is Misty's lovely voice that you're going to hear when you call in, and so don't yell at her. Don't be angry with her. Because it's my fault. If everything goes right about the show, it's because Misty has done it all right. And if things go wrong, it's because I've screwed up.
Well, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Misty. That's my standard relationship with all the women in my life, by the way. If things go well, it's their doing. And if things get screwed up, it's my fault. I'm not saying that begrudgingly. It's just the truth. Tina's sitting there nodding. Oh, yes. Yes, it is true. All right. Holidays in the time of COVID. So we've talked about clothing because a big push this year is to do, you know, Thanksgiving or holiday gatherings or meals outside. And, you know, that's not an unrealistic thing for Southern California for us to do. But obviously the one thing that makes outside an issue at this time of year is the temperature. That's the thing. That's what's going to keep people from doing that. And outside is safer. Why? Because air transference, because there's airflow, because there's not as much opportunity for the virus, if it is present, to mill around and be exposed to everybody on the same level. So being outside is a winner there. So we've talked about clothing, but let's talk about a couple of other ways of staying warm when you're outside. One is the typical thing. You see it at every restaurant. Some of you have these, in your home, and that's propane space heaters, right? But not everybody has a propane space heater or two that they can bring out, and they work fine. They work fine. Some of them work really, really great. Let me introduce you, though, to a couple of other things that work even better that you can probably still, without breaking the budget, get your hands on. Infrared, anything that is infrared, you will find a level of efficiency outdoors that you don't really expect. And I'll tell you why. Here's the principle. A propane space heater heats the air, okay? Yeah, Dean, duh. Yeah, okay, no. Just hang tight with me. A propane space heater heats the air around you. So if it's not strong enough or if it's not close enough or if there's a breeze blowing, then guess what? That hot air or that warm air just travels away and doesn't actually affect you. Infrared emitters heat you. They pound against your skin, your surfaces, and they actually heat you kind of from the inside out. Sort of, they kind of cook you just a little bit, but in a good way, okay? And they are not, infrared emitters are not so dependent upon the air around you. It's the same principle, by the way, when we talk about saunas. Are you going to put in a traditional sauna with the hot rocks, right, in which you're heating the air? And if you're in a sauna that is a traditional sauna, that air needs to get to like 180 degrees inside, okay? That's hot. It's a lot of hot air. Infrared saunas, the reason why they're the new rave is that an infrared sauna only needs to be like 115, 120 degrees inside. Why? Because it's not air temperature dependent. The infrared penetrates into your skin and warms you in that way. So there are infrared heaters. You've seen those discs, They look like fans, but they're like these infrared disc heaters. You can get them at the hardware store. Those things work exceptionally well. So do infrared propane space heaters, okay? And if you're really swanky, you may have installed infrared emitters underneath your patio cover as your space heater instead of just the typical propane space heater. The last thing that, so infrared, think in terms of infrared. It's electric. You can just run down to the hardware store and get them. You get enough of them, surround the table. Everybody will be toasty and warm, even if it's windy. But the last thing is disposable seat warmers, okay? Little chemical-activated seat warmers. You can get these. They're about 12 by 12 square, and you sit on them. Because if your buns are warm, the rest of you is warm. That's not good grammar, but it makes the point. Where can you get those? Lots of different places, but here's one. Hotseatwarmers.com. Yes, of course, there are websites dedicated to everything. Hotseatwarmers.com. They're disposable, but once you crack one of these open and get it going, they typically last about 5 hours. So think about that. One hot seat warmer for each of your guests sitting around the table outside, and everybody's tushy is warm and comfy, and that radiates up and through the rest of your body. It's very much similar to the concept of seat warmers in an automobile, right? You could have the top down, you could have the windows wide open, but if that seat warmer is cranking, you're going to be generally just fine. All right, so much more to talk about. I'm so glad you joined me this morning. Hang tight. There's more to come. You're listening to Home with Dean Sharp, The House Whisperer. See you when you get there, but I'm going on. KFI, Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer, at your service. So glad you joined me this morning. I would love to talk to you about what's going on with your home. So in just a few minutes, we're going to go back to the phones. The lines are open now. Now's your chance to jump into the queue. 833-2-ASK-DEAN is the number to reach me at. 833-2-ASK-DEAN. Give me a call and let's talk about your house today. Anything you want to talk about. Hey, just heard a little promo for the Fork Report show today. Neil's going to be talking about Thanksgiving stuff as well, just like we are. And so I just thought I would take the opportunity to give you a little teaser. The day after Thanksgiving, Friday, Black Friday, John and Ken are taking the day off that day. And guess who's going to be filling in for John and Ken from 2 to 6 on Friday after Thanksgiving? Neil Saavedra and Dean Sharp. We're going to be talking about holiday decor and holiday food and all things holidays. And so it's going to be a fun time. So if you have the chance, catch us. We'll be filling in for John and Ken on Friday. All right. Back to handling holidays in the time of COVID for your home. So we've talked about clothing. We've talked about heat, being outside. Last thing, two things for outside. Number one, a canopy. Canopy is not a bad idea. I don't think there's any rain in the forecast for this time around. The idea of a canopy would be primarily, number one, to hold in heat as much as possible, and number two, to keep the rain off of things. I don't think rain's the issue. Holding in heat, though, we got to be careful with canopies, with easy ups and so on, because there's going to be the temptation to wall them in. And so let me just say, the whole idea of being outside so that you've got airflow happening is going to be negated if you put up a four-walled canopy, because you've just created a room outside. And what's the point if the tent has four walls? I will allow a canopy plus a wall or two, at the most two walls. And what are they for? You would position those walls with their backs against the breeze, the prevailing winds, so that you kind of mitigate the wind blowing across the table, you know, blowing the dinner rolls off the table. I don't think it's going to be a particularly windy day that day either, but still, a wall or two at the most to kind of help you control the breeze. Otherwise, though, leave it open, because the whole idea of being outside is to leave it open. And last but not least, when it comes to outside, of course, is fire pit. if you happen to have one or you want to get your hands on one. I'm just going to say this. Get a real fire pit. What's a real fire pit, Dean? One with fire. I have one of those. No. A real fire pit is something that actually keeps you warm when it's cold outside. That's all I'm going to say. That's all you need to know. Okay. Indoors. When we go indoors, if at all possible, let's keep the windows open so that, again, airflow has a chance of mitigating the buildup of potentially a virus that's just kind of floating around. We want to move it out. So this brings up the whole subject of air exchange and filtration inside your house. So I'm going to tell you this. This would be the week to go out and buy yourself, even if you don't normally do this, a HEPA air filter for your HVAC and AC system. The air filter that you normally use, put a HEPA filter. HEPA, H-E-P-A, it stands for high efficiency particulate air filter. A HEPA filter is actually capable of not only grabbing pollen and dust, but a HEPA filter can actually grab viruses and bacteria in the air as well. We're talking 99.95%. It basically, a HEPA filter is very similar to having an N95 mask on your house. Okay, that doesn't protect you personally from your uncle who's standing, 2 feet away from you, close talking at you. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is the airflow through your house, that's like N95 levels of control for a home. That's what a HEPA filter is capable of doing. And so on Thanksgiving Day or on feast days during the holiday, when folks are around, have the system running. And if it's not cold enough to run the heater or not warm enough to run the AC, just set your system on the fan setting so that the air is constantly moving and circulating through your house. That's going to exchange the air in the main areas of your house and run it through that filter. That helps, okay? The second thing is having the bath fans on, exchanging the air in the bathroom. Same concept. The third thing is humidity. Humidity. This is something that gets overlooked a lot. It's one of the reasons why the flu season jumps up during the winter, more so than the summer. Humidity, actually, there's a zone, a sweet spot of about 50% relative humidity. You can vary from about 40% up to 60. Okay, that's the range. Viruses and bacteria tend not to enjoy 50% relative humidity, and humans like it best. So the humidity that we like best is the level of humidity that viruses and bacteria like the worst. If the house gets too humid, they thrive. If the house gets too dry, and that's what normally happens during the winter because you're running the heater and the heater and the heater and you're drying out the air. If the house gets too dry, they thrive. So they thrive on both ends of the spectrum. But if we can bring the house to a relative humidity of somewhere between 40 and 60, ideally 50%, you will reduce, again, the risk of viruses surviving for long periods of time in that environment. All right. A little bit more when we come back, plus your calls up next. KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You are home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. That's me. Hey, important announcement for you. I shared it before. I'm going to share it again. It is Pastathon time. The KFI Pastathon is back, and it is our 10th year raising funds and pasta and sauce for Katerina's Club, Chef Bruno's charity, down in Orange County that feeds more than 25,000 kids every week. This year, the need is greater than ever for two reasons. One, because, you know, we have concerns that not having a live in-person Pastathon event might lower donations, and we don't want that to happen. And secondly, COVID. Katarina's Club is helping even more people in the community than ever because of COVID. They have already served more than 1 million meals this year, which is a milestone that normally takes the entire year to achieve. So they are way ahead of that. And so they need our help more than ever. This is what you can do. Donate right now at pastathon.com. Pastathon.com. That's where you make your donation. Or stop into any Smart and Final store in California, Arizona, Nevada. You can donate $10 at checkout. A $10 donation provides 14 meals. That goes a long, long way. And, of course, drop pasta and sauce donations where? At the Anaheim White House this year from now through December 4th. Every day, they're accepting donations from 8 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, except for Thanksgiving. You won't even need to leave your car. Volunteers are on site, and they will collect your donations for you and make it super easy. And starting in December, from the 1st through the 4th, tune in during the day on KFI for some exclusive live streaming events. All right, so everybody, please help us make Pastathon the best year ever, despite all of the things that are standing in the way. All right, what time is it? Time to go to the phones. Let's do that. I want to talk to Kim. Hey, Kim, welcome home.
Thank you. I moved out of Southern California about a year ago, and I do have some water filtration needs here, and I know that you have an advertiser that you mention often that you use at your own home called Life Source, and I haven't found anything other than reverse osmosis available here. Is that the same thing as Life Source, or I am being told that reverse osmosis requires a filter, so if it isn't the same, I wondered if you could guide me to the process where in which I should be looking.
Okay, really good question. Source. Where are you at? Where are you at, Kim? You moved out of state. Where are you at?
I'm by a lake in a lakeside community, really nice little area called Diamond Lake, Cassopolis, Michigan.
Oh, you're in Michigan.
Yes, little tucked away place here.
Well, thanks for continuing to listen. Okay, so let me see if I can tackle this for you as efficiently as possible. Water issues are tricky when it comes to this because, you know, most people, all you hear is like the stuff that you see on advertisements and hear on advertisements. So if you talk to a water expert, this is what I would expect that you're going to be told because of all the houses that we build and design, we have to constantly address this issue of, okay, what's going to be the best water system? Is there just one system that is foolproof for everybody? And the answer is really no. What you want by way of filtration for your home is whatever your home needs. You know, like, well, thanks, Dean. Yeah, I knew that. What I want is what I need. But what I mean by that is you want to get your water tested. Okay, because you want to find out what's in it. Some folks are very fortunate in that they live in some great areas, and with the exception of a little bit of chlorine or chloramines or something like that in the water that the city puts in to reduce bacteria growth, there's a lot of mineral content, not a lot of nastiness, good flavor in general for the water. When you have a mountain stream that's feeding your home, you really don't need any filtration. And if you over-filter it, now you're taking stuff out of the water that you would really like to keep in, okay? Now, water filters are one thing. There's single-stage filters, two, three, four-stage filters. Reverse osmosis, that's the big tank underneath the sink, tends to be one of the most extreme versions of it. It's almost kind of like distilling your water. It's not distilled, but it takes a lot out. And if you don't need that much taken out, then you don't want to use a reverse osmosis system because you want to keep minerals that are healthy for your system inside your water. So you understand what I'm saying. There's a sliding scale. You want to match your filtration system to your actual water needs. Reverse osmosis is not the same as a life source whole house system. A life source system uses activated charcoal carbon filters, really, really, really good ones. But they're not reverse osmosis, so they leave the minerals in the water. A life source system is also not a water softener, because softeners, technically, that's a term that we apply to salt-based systems where you add rock salt, and salt ions actually remove scaling things like magnesium and potassium and calcium out of the water. And the bummer about that is that not only do you have to keep adding salt, but you don't get calcium and magnesium and potassium in your body, and that's a good thing to have in your body. So they use a descaling system that crystallizes those minerals so that they don't stick to pipes and plumbing fixtures, but they're still in the water and they still get into your body. That's why I love that whole system. But at the bottom, the bottom line is this, Kim, you want to test your water, your local water coming into your home. If you have some severe contamination issues, then you want a heavy-duty filter. Some people have well water, and there's a sense of like sulfur in the water. Then you want a filter that's specifically aimed at that. And some people have just, if you're in a lake area in Michigan, you might have some really, really nice water in your local area. And so you just want to match the condition of the water with the right filter that will filter out the nasties, but keep everything else that's good about the water in the system. So does that make sense? Match it to your need. Don't just blanket throw, the nuclear option at your water, because there's a really good chance that you'll end up taking too much out, and that's not helping the flavor, and it's not helping your health as well. Kim, thank you for your call. Now we're up against it. All right. When we come back, let me finish up my suggestions for COVID during the holidays and how to handle stuff inside the house at mealtime. You are home with Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer. KFI, Dean Sharp, the House Whisperer, welcome home. Okay, no, we do not want your home to be a highway to the danger zone. That's why we're having this conversation today. Thank you, Sam. Yeah, no, it's not I went to the danger zone, Tina. By the way, if you want to hear the wrong lyrics to most songs, ask my wife what they're saying. Years into our relationship, and we started listening to this song, this Kenny Loggins song, and she started singing, and I'm like, "What did you just say?" She's like, "I'm singing the song. I went to the danger zone." I'm like, "That's not; those aren't the words. It's highway to the danger zone." She's like, "Really?" I'm not going to tell you how she used to interpret those Cal Worthington commercials that were on TV when we were kids.
I'm not the only one.
You are almost the only one. All right. All right, let's finish up our conversation about keeping your home safe during the holidays for COVID. Let's talk about the meal, because the meal, that is, that's the thing, right? Have you considered this, eating in the round? Okay. The thing about this 6-foot social distancing, or sitting at the Thanksgiving table and telling people to wear their masks in between bites of food, what can I say about that? I just know you're not going to do it. So, so let's just set table that and talk about how to stay safer around that table. A round table, my friend, a round table gets you further separated from most of the people at the table. A 6-foot diameter table, FYI, can sit easily 8 to 10 people around it. I mean, that could be, hopefully, that's the whole holiday crew right there. And think about it. Those folks on the other side, they are, the person directly across from you is, over 6 feet away from you. And so is just about everybody on the far edge of the table. So in the round, good idea. Or you can take two tables, two standard dining room tables, shove them together in parallel so that the distance across the table isn't 36 or 42, but it's more like 6 to 7 feet. As long as you're staring across at people, you're still going to have that face-to-face conversation. They just don't have to be, you know, within the five-foot zone. Or do it medieval style. And that is, you know, take two or three tables and shape them into a U shape, right? Put two tables parallel to each other so that people are only sitting on the outside edge, right? Medieval feast, right? So not people on each side of the table, but U the tables around and have people just sit on the outside edge of the table so that everybody is just further away, but everybody still sees one another. That's the key, to be able to see each other's faces, to be able to interact face-to-face, as it were, but with a little bit of distance in between the two of you. All right. So in addition to that, this is the year, my friend, to increase your sensory stimuli all around the house. What am I saying? I'm saying you're not having as many people over as you want. You're not having as many parties as you want. This is all wise, but you know, and it's been a bummer of a year, and we're all feeling the exhaustion and the fatigue and the stress. So light up your life a little bit. Decorate. Put more twinkle lights around the house. I'm serious. Increase your sensory stimulus. It will change your mood. More lights. More music. More aromas, not just the food cooking on Thanksgiving Day, but just general aromas in the house, right? A little more potpourri, those cinnamon pine cones, whatever it is to bring that, just wrap yourself in a sensory experience so that it's lifting your emotions. Open flame. I cannot say enough about open flame. I know if you're a fan of the show, you know I go on and on about open flame. I can't help it. It is an evolutionary reality. It is just human instinct. Open flame has the color temperature 1800 degrees Kelvin. And you know what 1800 degrees Kelvin does to us? It lowers our stress. It makes us feel safe. It brings us into a completely altered frame of mind. So whether it's a fireplace or a fire pit or an ethanol burner, clean-burning ethanol burner, or candles around the house, open flame will do a tremendous amount to set your heart aright for the holidays. What else can I throw in here right at the end? You know what? This is the year, in place of hugs and snuggles, this is the year, as we say to our 4-year-old granddaughter, to use your words. Use your words this year. This is the year of all years to find ways of verbally expressing to people what they mean to you, as opposed to just grabbing onto them and giving them a big hug, which I know we all want to do, all right? But use your words. Don't let something go unsaid. And ground rules for using your words, stay away from the politics, obviously. Right? Remember when life was mostly not political talk? Well, you know, guess what? Life is still not mostly politics. Even if you all agree, even if all of your people are the same color of party as you are, you know, if you start talking politics, it's only going to bring you down. You know it will. So just set that aside as a ground rule. But at the end of the day, remember, be creative. Be flexible. You're going to do this. You're going to make it. Make this holiday work for you. All right. I'm out. We'll be back tomorrow morning. We're going to talk about the power of design abstractions to save you money in your remodeling budget. And thanks for spending the morning with me.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.